Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm a girl. My mom was a horrible addict, and she barely took care of me as a kid. At the time of this incident, I was around 7, so my awareness and understanding of things happening may not totally make much sense. This happened in the 90s. One night, my mother and I were on a car ride. I wasn't sure why we were driving, but it was late at night. I'm also not sure what time it was, but I assume it was pretty late because there weren't many cars on the street, and I was sleeping in the back seat. I don't even remember getting in the car. My mom drove up to some sketchy house and left me in the car for what felt like forever. Suddenly, the car door swung open and someone violently grabbed my arm and yanked me out of the car. I started screaming and crying until the man that grabbed me looked me in my eyes and said, "Be quiet and don't try to run or I'll kill you." He had a scruffy beard and looked like a madman. I was scared to death, so I listened. He held me tight by my arm and shut the car door, then walked with me down the street. I looked back at the house my mom was in, hoping that my mom would come out at the last second and save me. I looked at the house as long as I could as the man dragged me further and further away. As we walked down the street, I wanted to cry, but I was in shock and in fear. I didn't know what to do. If I sniffled or cried, the man would tighten his grip and yell at me. I can't even explain how scared and confused I was. We walked for a little while and ended up in the projects. The projects were a bunch of buildings crammed together in a shitty neighborhood. We walked into one of the buildings and walked up a flight of stairs. My legs and feet hurt like hell, but I was too scared to stop moving or complain. We walked up another flight of stairs when I saw some random guy smoking a cigarette in the stairway. Then without warning, the guy that kidnapped me fell to the ground. It happened so fast. I didn't even know how he fell to the ground so fast, but the next thing I remember is, the cigarette guy was punching and kicking the kidnapper in his head and face. The guy was out cold. The guy with the cigarette picked up the kidnapper by the back of his jacket and threw him down the stairs. You have no idea how scary and violent it is to see an unconscious man fall down the stairs. To this day, I have a fear of falling down the stairs. Yeah, how the guy smoking a cigarette knew to help me, but I'm glad he did. Maybe he could see tears in my eyes, or maybe he just picked up on something and had a horrible vibe, but he acted instantly. The first second he could, he attacked my would-be kidnapper. And then he starts pacing back and forth, swearing at himself, gritting his teeth and clenching his fists. I thought he was mad at me, so I started to cry. He looked at me and said, Okay, shut up. He had an attitude, so I listened to him out of fear. But I wasn't as scared of the cigarette guy as much as the bearded guy. But I was also still in fear of him. He started to ask me questions with an attitude, like, "Why are you out this late? Where are your parents? Why would you talk to strangers?" I was in so much shock and confusion that I couldn't answer the man's questions correctly. He asked if I knew my way home, and I told him I didn't. I also told him a broken story about what happened, and somehow with the information I gave him, he knew where my mom's car was. The only thing I remember about the road is passing a house with Christmas lights on it, despite Christmas already being over. I think he knew the area well enough and figured where I needed to go from that information, but I honestly don't even remember telling him about the Christmas lights. Anyways, he told me he would take me back if I promised over and over that I wouldn't tell the police that I saw him or anyone that looked like him, and also made me promise that I wouldn't tell the police anything at all. He had an attitude. I really didn't care what he asked me though, I just wanted to go back to my mom, so I agreed. I followed him down the stairs, and the bearded guy was still laying on the ground, bleeding at the bottom of the stairs. He wasn't moving at all. For all I know, he was dead, and I kind of hoped that he was. Cigarette guy stepped over the bearded guy and I followed. We then walked outside, and my savior looked around panicky. I remember him telling me, "The police don't like me." We walked out of the projects and my feet still hurt. He was walking fast in a panic and I had to basically jog to keep up with him. I started crying and he asked me what was wrong. I told him that my feet hurt and I remember him sucking his teeth and picking me up with an attitude. He awkwardly cradled me in both arms and then walked down the road for a moment with me. Then I remember him swearing and running behind a house or a building. A cop car was driving down the road and he put me down and told me to run to the police car. I tried to run but my legs could barely move and I was too scared. The cop car kept driving and rode away without seeing me before I could even get remotely close to it. He kept swearing to himself as he picked me up again and ran down the street. He took me behind a lot of houses and hid from every cop car that drove by. I assume now that the police were looking for me. He even carried me in both arms, running fast down the road when I saw my mom in her car in the distance. She was surrounded by police. He then put me down and told me to run to the police. I got so excited that the pain in my legs seemed to disappear and he put me down and ran away. I ran towards the police and my mom, and my mom picked me up and hugged me tight. The police then started to ask me and my mom questions. I don't remember too much about their questions, but I remember my mom telling the police some weird story that just didn't make any sense. She basically told me to not say anything, and I didn't say much but cried a whole bunch. Then we went home. A few days later, my dad picked me up and knew something was wrong. I told him everything, and I never lived with my mom again. When I grew up, I had time to think about that day, and I never really forgave my mother. Not too long ago, I asked my dad what he remembers about the situation, and he told me what he thinks happened, from what I explained to him from years ago. He said my mom was on a drug binge, I got kidnapped, and someone saved me, but the person that saved me had warrants and wasn't really mad at me, he was just frustrated with the situation that he had to deal with. Understandably, imagine being a criminal on the run, and now you've got a kidnapped girl with you, and you just beat a guy up half to death. If he would have gotten caught with me, he could be in jail for my kidnapping. With my mom lying and me being in shock and confused, I wouldn't be able to tell them that the man helped me, because while it was all happening, I didn't even notice he was helping me. But to the man that saved me, thank you. This was back in November of 2018 and takes place in North Carolina. I was 14 at the time. My family and I had just moved across the United States, and we had just gotten to the city where we planned on living after a long road trip. We were all hungry, so we decided to grab dinner before we went to pick up the keys to our new house. We went to a local pizza shop, since we had our dogs with us, because we hadn't moved into our house yet. We decided to eat in the car. I'm a pretty fast eater compared to the rest of my family, so I finished way before them. After I was done, I decided to bring my puppy out to do her business. And we were standing just a little ways up from the car, playing in the leaves on the ground. I grew up in Florida, so I wasn't used to seeing piles of autumn leaves. I was just living my best life, not paying attention to my surroundings, when a man taps on my shoulder. My dog notices him and immediately tries to jump on him, as she does with anyone. So I pull her back while I'm backing away from him. He looks to be in his mid-40s or 50s. He smiles creepily at me, like it was forced. He says in a scruffy southern voice, "You have my dog, my border collie." Immediately, a red flag goes off in my mind as my dog looks very obviously like a boxer, nothing like a border collie. Now let me tell you, I'm horrible at confrontation, so I just say nervously, "I think you're mistaken, sir. This is my dog." Not even telling him how my dog does not look anything like what he was describing. I looked over to my parents' car, which was just a couple feet ahead of me, unsure what to do. They hadn't even noticed the man approach me. They were on their phones. The man now asks me, "Well, would you be able to come help me look for my dog?" I can feel my stomach drop in that moment. I still didn't want to make a scene, as I'm probably overreacting. But I have read my fair share of kidnapping and sex trafficking horror stories, so I have an idea in the back of my mind on what's going down. He then says something along the lines of, "I have some money in my truck for you, if I went with him." My hands are sweating at this point, and this is something straight out of a Reddit thread. He points over to a very sketchy, rundown looking truck, and I tell him I'm busy and I have to go, but best of luck to finding his dog. Still trying to keep him on my good side. Looking back on it now, I don't know why I didn't tell him that my parents were right there. If I would have, I think he would have backed off. I tend to overly worry about what others might think, so I was just trying to be polite and not make him mad. He then decides to grab my dog's leash and say that he had dog treats in his truck, and starts to walk away with my dog. I pull the leash away from him and I say sternly, I have to go now. As I start walking away, he then grabs my wrist and rips the leash out of my hands, throwing it to the ground. He starts pulling me with him, mumbling something like, "Just come see what I have for you." My dog, the sweet good girl she is, follows after us and starts barking. I am a pretty small 5'4" girl, and I have no upper body strength, so I just start screaming to let go of me. My parents were alarmed hearing me scream, and they immediately start sprinting after me. I start screaming, "Mom, Dad." I think he got alarmed when he heard me yell out "Mom," the sudden realization that my parents were right there in the car the whole time. He made a run for it, and we didn't run after him. My parents were just glad that they had me. This was definitely not a good way to start off our new life in North Carolina. Not even had lived there a day yet. I really don't wish this to happen to anyone ever, as it was extremely terrifying. But my advice for you is, don't be afraid to use your words, even if they offend the person. This is not the type of time to worry about what others might think. To tell this story, I'll need to give a little bit of background to start. I live near Grand Rapids, Michigan. As in most major cities, human trafficking happens quite frequently. The reason I'm mentioning this is because I go to college in this city, and I am a 19, almost 20-year-old female with brown hair and blue eyes. So due to my young age and appearances, I know I fit the targets they look for. I had just gotten out of class for the day. As normal, I headed towards my car, placed my money on my student card so I could get out of the school parking garage, and I was on my way. Since I live a good 25 minutes away from Grand Rapids, I have to go onto the highway to get home. Instead of going home today, though, I had made plans with one of my favorite teachers to help her out in class, and thank God I did. As I was getting off of my exit, I noticed a white pickup truck behind me. At the time, though, I thought nothing of it and I continued my normal route. To get to my old teacher's place of work, I had to go past my house. When I look in my mirror again, I notice this truck behind me still. I still just shrugged it off, rationalizing that this truck had just a similar route as me. I stop next to a local bar and grill and I take a right turn, and the truck followed me. I was still trying to rationalize this and trying my best to shut up my paranoid mind. I sum it up to me just reading and listening to true scary stories too much. However, I'm unable to quiet my mind, and I am now picking up on just how far the truck is keeping its distance from me. As if the driver didn't want me to see who they were or make out any features, I take a left turn to get into the village where the teacher worked. The truck then takes a left turn and follows me, but still keeps the same distance I had before. I'm panicking at this point. All these thoughts are racing through my mind, and my gut is screaming at me that this doesn't feel right. Still, there's this part of me that's trying to rationalize it. I take a deep breath and make a quick decision. When I get to the entryway to the elementary school, I will turn into there and go through the parking lot and back out onto the road. If they follow me into the parking lot, I'll know for sure that this truck is following me. So I turn into the parking lot, and the truck follows again. As I continue through the parking lot, I believe the person inside the vehicle realized I knew they were following me, as their speed slowed incredibly. Still thinking I might be paranoid, I try to reason with myself that this person might be dropping off their kid or picking them up. But as I continue through the parking lot to leave, in my dash mirror, I see the truck slowly pull up to the T intersection, as if watching me go. At this point, I know they have already passed the student pickup and drop off. There is no way they could be picking up their kid or dropping them off. Somehow, I am able to remain calm and I turn on the road again, checking behind me every few seconds to see if this truck is still following me. I turn down another road and park near a few houses, taking a couple of deep breaths, adrenaline still running through me. I stayed there for a few more moments just to make sure I lost the truck. Once I felt ready, I make my way towards a Big B, order the drinks I had planned to get myself and my teacher in the first place, and make my way back to the school parking lot. The truck is nowhere to be seen, it's gone. It isn't until I am in the office that the adrenaline finally leaves my body, and when the office lady asks me if I'm okay, I start crying and shaking. I told both my teacher and the office what happened. I hugged my teacher as if my life depended on it, and she told me to stop trying to rationalize everything. This truck followed me for far too long and was acting so suspiciously that we believe they had malicious intent. After a couple more hours to process what has happened, I can't say for sure, but I believe this person was trying to catch me at my house, or even in a secluded area, to try to kidnap me. quite possibly could have had something to do with a potential human trafficker. I'm just so glad that I listened to my gut. So when I was a kid, maybe 6 or 7, this was the mid-1990s, we took a family trip to the beach in Florida. We were staying in a beach house, a short walking distance from the beach. We went to the beach and I was supposed to stay inside of my mom, but I wandered way down and before I knew it, I was lost. A lot of these houses looked the exact same and I wasn't sure which one was ours, plus I couldn't see my mom anywhere. And then it started to rain. I came to a path that I was pretty sure led back to our house. Only it didn't lead to a house at all, but instead to a parking lot. There was a big dirty van parked there. It was the only vehicle around. I was about to turn back when I noticed an overweight woman with brown hair, a hot pink tank top, and those big clunky thick glasses that were popular in the 80s, waving and smiling at me from the passenger seat of the van. She said something like, "Oh my, it's raining. Where's your mommy? Let us take you to her. It's way too dangerous to be out here in the rain. You could even get struck by lightning." She was very friendly, almost overly so. In the driver's seat was an overweight man without a shirt on, a hairy gray chest, and some clunky looking gold chain. He was wearing yellow tinted Elvis shades and staring at me intently. He was also smoking a cigarette, which I knew was bad. The woman stepped out of the van and kneeled down to me and she asked how old I was. When I told her, she gleefully remarked, "Oh my, we have 2 boys your age at our house. You should come over and spend the night. We've got movies, Nintendo, and in the morning we've got all types of cereal." I had been taught all about stranger danger, but at this point in my life, no adult had ever given me a reason not to trust them. The lady continued talking about stuff like how the boys have go-karts and they like to drink chocolate milk. She made it seem very enticing for a 7-year-old kid, and at this point I trusted her. I mostly liked the idea of getting to play with some kids my age. Then I remembered that I needed to ask my mom first. I told her this, but she told me that it was no problem and that they just live up the road, and that my mom wouldn't mind. It started raining harder and she opened the sliding door of the van and said something like, "Now let's get you out of this rain and go find your mom." I knew logically that I shouldn't do this, but the lady seemed really nice, and I was desperately wanting to get out of the rain. As I walked toward the open door of the van, I noticed an awful stench that almost made me gag. This set off alarm bells in my head that something wasn't right. There were cigarette butts all over the floor. I looked up at the fat man who was not only staring at me with this menacing glare, but he had this real creepy toothy smile and his teeth were stained a dark yellow. I could pick up on a very screwed up vibe from him. I knew now that I should run, but the woman was ushering me to hurry up and get in. Her demeanor had changed. She was demanding and trying to literally push me into the van. She sounded angry and said, "Get in already," in a tone that was completely opposite of how she sounded before. I jumped to the side and I started running as fast as I could. The woman managed to grab my arm or wrist, but somehow I was able to quickly break free and run back to the beach. I think she tried to chase me, but like I said, she was very overweight. I made it back to my mom, who was freaking out. I tried explaining everything that happened to me, but I don't think that at 7 years old, I was able to convey the gravity of what just happened to me, and I didn't fully understand it myself.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.